I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back, and it's great to have everyone here on a Friday afternoon. What an afternoon it's been. Hal is up next in Mississippi.
Paul.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. You sound great.
Okay. Had a son play baseball at LSU. I'm a much more a football guy. So when we would go to other stadiums, we'd go look at the football field. I mean, is it kind of strange?
No, not at all.
So we're in Tennessee at Knoxville. And that river is on the, was that the Columbia?
Tennessee River is in Knoxville.
Is that on the south side of the stadium?
It sure is, right below the stadium.
Well, we pull in there, and this is, you know, goddamn April, May, whatever. Ain't nothing going on football. And me and my wife walk in there, and we've done this at like a dozen places. And walk in there, and there's this young man who's an employee, and he's there in the breezeway. And he's like, hey, dude, you know, can we walk out here and look at the field? Just, you know, I'm sort of kind of strange like that. And he said, no, sir. I mean, he was screaming. You cannot go on the field. I'm fixing to go in my office for the next 10 minutes, and I don't want to see you. And so he goes in his office, and me and my wife walk out on the field. You know, it's just kind of one of the little personal moments, I reckon. You there?
I'm listening to every word. I'm actually memorizing it. I'm going to give a recital tomorrow morning.
Hey, I tell you what you need to do, and you'll know him. You know Rick Cleveland.
Of course.
He writes for Mississippi Today.
Rick is an absolute legend in the state of that state. I mean, one of the Mount Rushmore sports writers of all time.
Absolutely. But he wrote an article that anyway popped up on my computer today or that yesterday or something. But about a little old high school team in Lake Mississippi that was unbeaten, untied, unscored on in 1974, and they were having a 50-year reunion this weekend, and some like 26 out of the 29 players are still living, and one guy was a full bird colonel, and it was just a neat story. I'm telling you, if you read it, you will like it.
I will. No, I'm a killer. I'm a sucker for those retro stories.
Well, they had a dang, when they got to the end of the season, I think they were 1-8, maybe 2-8. And whoever they were playing was going to kick a field goal and break their streak. And said, some 140-pound guy came through the line, blocked the kick. And anyway, the dang coach, he was 26 when he was coaching them. And then he quit coaching at 30 because he, in the article, he said, I figured out I was making 17 cents an hour. And then he said, Bear Bryant and, oh gosh dang it. What was the, Ken Donahue.
Ken Donahue, sure.
And they showed up at Lake to watch his defensive end linebacker. And he played tackle. He ended up signing with Southern, which at that time, Southern was better in state and Ole Miss. And long story short, when Derek gets there and he talks to the coach, he says, why are you not playing that guy at middle linebacker in the middle of the field? And he said, well, coach, the way I figured, if I put him on one side, I know dang well he ain't going that way, so I'm going to work with him on the other side.
That's great.
And I said, that's old country boy wisdom. Well, Paul, I appreciate
you. Well, Hal, thank you for sharing the story, and you be well. You take care of yourself. We will continue with more calls here. And Squirrel is up next.
Man, I really enjoyed that Kenny Chesney interview. That took me back.
Well, I'm glad you heard it, because it was, yeah, I mean, I think he definitely represents, when he sings, it does take you back to whatever period of time in your life.
Well, talking about Johnson City, do you remember growing up in Memphis as a senior, maybe, do you remember the reputation of East Tennessee State back in the day in the mid-70s?
Sure,
what was it? What do you remember the reputation being?
I mean, I knew they had a good basketball school, but I always thought, yeah, it was, if you went, I don't want to act like you went to Tennessee to study, because I know I didn't, but yeah, you went there because it was, you'd get a degree and you'd have fun.
Well, it was back in the day in the East Tennessee area, it was known as the party school.
Yeah, and the Tri-Cities is a really nice area. Doesn't get a lot of credit because you have three disparate, you have Johnson City, Kingsport, and Bristol. But when you put them all together, it's a major area.
But when they gave me that scholarship to go there, being a partier, I knew that being a partier and going to a party school wouldn't last very long. So I wish my stay in Johnson City had a bit longer. But I had a great time while I was there, I will say that. But I was on every type of probation you could be on, Paul, when I left Johnson City back in 78, I guess. But a great town. Hey, couple of callers I'd like to comment on, if you don't mind. Chris, that dude from South Carolina, his calls are beginning to become a lot like his idol, Jim Osteen's. I mean, there's just 100% self-promotion. He's long-winded. He's boring. And I don't know, as a caller, I just think he sucks. And Joey, the one that complains about being on hold, is he the one with the seven dogs and the five cats?
Yeah, and a wife named Manna.
And if you recall when he was telling us about that, he says, I've got ducks and birds.
Yeah. No, he's
And I always thought a duck was a bird. You know what I mean? I mean, so I didn't understand. But can you imagine what that dude's living room smells like?
No. I'm uncomfortable enough just talking to him on the phone.
Man, I've got one dog, and I've got a little automatic robot vacuum that runs behind his little butt all day long.
No, we have the same thing, and we have two portable vacuum cleaners because the guy, the dog never stops eating.
The dog hair, there's cat poop behind his couch. Dude, you need to be cleaning your house and not worrying about being on hold. And another thing, we always, us long guys that's been here a while, we went through this too. If he doesn't think we didn't get put on hold at times, we did. There was times when I never got to call in and the show ended. And that's just part of it. But my advice to these clowns,
Squirrel, there's an initiation, and I don't think he's going to survive.
Yes. You got to earn it. And my advice to these clowns is quit bitching and come on here and start being compelling when they do get on the air. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Aloha to you, Squirrel. And what a call. He laid some smack down. We'll take a break. We have another guest waiting, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So, UGA and Oregon, did they find the blueprint for title contenders stacking their quarterback rooms in the portal? Adam Rittenberg's headline, Big Spring. Questions for everyone. Adam, great to have you back with us. So let's start with what we all learned from the spring. There hasn't been a lot of shakeup, a few filling holes. As far as the main contenders, what do we know, and what do you think as we now make that hard turn toward the season?
Yeah, great to be with you, Paul. I mean, as I wrote in that piece, it was really much more of a scramble than like a normal practice session because of the late coaching cycle. Kalen DeBoer taking over late, Jed Fish taking over right after Kalen DeBoer. I talked with Jed the other day about how, you know, you're taking over a national runner-up, but they have one starter back from that team. Probably never has happened before in college football history. So some very different situations around the country. You look at Michigan with the new coaching staff. You have teams that are trying to move into that echelon and have those types of expectations. Notre Dame's a team I spent some time around this spring. I think they have that opportunity if they can get the quarterback and the offense a little bit more explosive. So, but really, again, with so many new coaches, I talked to Bill O'Brien the other day from Boston College. He took over even after Jed Fish and Kalen DeBoer. There's so many of these guys have barely been on the job. And then you're on the field for spring practice trying to get to know your new team. So I think a lot of these questions are going to spill over into the summer and even into fall camp.
I want to talk about the difference in this year as we head toward the season and any other we've dealt with. We had a two-team playoff and now a four. And just in terms of how it's going to be different, instead of getting to Big Ten championship games with a shot or the SEC or the ACC, what are we really going to be talking about once the season gets going? Is there a number? I mean, obviously we'll be watching a lot of different things, but we're in a different era now, aren't we?
No doubt, Paul. And I think, again, the expectation level for certain programs and certain coaches immediately changes. It goes from, oh, yeah, you had a 10-win season, or you won your division, or you won your January 1st bowl game, and we'll say that's a successful season. I don't think that's the case anymore. I mean, look at a program like Notre Dame that made the college football playoff twice in the four-team system, but now you really have to make it, I think, almost every year or be in the mix for it, for it to be deemed a successful year. You look at Penn State, that never was in the college football playoff as a four-team model, and look at all their draft picks. They need to be a team that really contends for this thing in many years. Texas finally made the college football playoff. We were talking to Steve Sarkisian a few weeks ago about where their program is. If they're not an annual contender, they're not going to look at that as a successful year. And then programs that are coming up, you look at the SEC with Ole Miss and Missouri, they have realistic hopes of making this thing, which may not have been the case if it had remained at 14. So it's really opened up the possibilities, but also heighten the expectations for certain programs and coaches that maybe haven't made the college football playoff as often as their fans want them to.
Adam, let me get to the SEC, because I think most agree, not everyone, but I would, that Georgia will be the favorite, and then you'll have probably Texas. But after that, I think it gets as tricky as we've ever seen before. How do you evaluate and differentiate Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Missouri? I mean, there's a lot of schools right there.
There are. And you look at, you know, who's made the biggest personnel splash in the offseason among that group. It might be Ole Miss with what they've been able to bring into their program on both sides of the ball. It feels like they're pushing all the chips in to make a run for the playoff in 2024. And if they don't, especially with the field expanded to 12, I think Rebels fans have the right to be a little bit disappointed if they can't, you know, create that magical run this year. I think Tennessee is in an interesting spot, a program that's been on the rise but hasn't quite got over the hump on a national level. Are they able to do that? They're another team that certainly aspires to be in the mix for the 12-team playoff. LSU is fascinating. I mean, you watched the draft just like I did last night, Paul. They had three of the top 25 players, and they didn't even win their division, in large part because their defense wasn't any good. So how much better are they going to be, you know, investing heavily in that defensive staff now led by Blake Baker, which they plucked from Missouri, a team that should also be in the college football playoff conversation given who they have coming back. So it will be fun to see which of these SEC teams truly have that opportunity to get into that mix and which are going to be disappointed at the end of the year.
Talking to Adam Rittenberg. Adam, in the Big Ten, you live in that part of the world. I think we know Ohio State will be the favorite, but what happens after that?
Yeah, I think it's Oregon, Paul. Obviously, Michigan won the national championship, and you have to respect them, and they still have a lot of really good players coming back, especially on the defense. But you look at the overall turnover in Ann Arbor with a new coaching staff, I have major questions about them at quarterback and unless they do something here in the spring portal. So I look at Oregon, a team that, you know, has certainly made investments in its roster and been a major NIL player, and they've done pretty much everything well under Dan Lanning except for win the big game. They haven't beaten Washington. They haven't won the Pac-12. I think they can enter the Big Ten with a real opportunity to get to Indianapolis and compete for a league championship. And certainly a team that I would add to that list that would be really disappointed if they don't make the college football playoff at 12 teams. Bringing in Dylan Gabriel, bringing in Dante Moore, Evan Stewart, a lot of really interesting pieces in the portal coming to Eugene. So I think after Ohio State, it's Oregon, and then Penn State's a very interesting team. Are they able to take that step, which they haven't been able to do in the four-team CFP era? Can they get there with a 12-team model?
You know, we are so used to and have been indoctrinated with Texas and Oklahoma in this part of the country, but when you said Oregon in the Big Ten, I actually did a double take for a second.
Yeah.
Even though I know they're in there, it still sounds strange.
It does. I mean, last night, if the Big Ten wanted to take credit for it, you know, you have the number one pick from USC coming into the league, Roma Dunze from Washington, UCLA, Latu Latu, outstanding pass rusher. They're all in those top 15, 20 picks. So I think the Big Ten really did add to its talent base. Now we'll see if that translates to more teams in the playoff and more teams that are winning national championships, because that's where the league is still far behind the SEC in terms of number of national contenders. But I think in terms of teams that add excitement and talent, especially at the quarterback spot where the Big Ten has lagged in recent years, I think this is a pretty exciting time.
Beyond that, we've covered two of the Big Four, ACC, Big 12, Independence, Group of Five. Is there anyone else? Are we missing anybody out there?
Well, I think the Big 12, you know, won't be the best league, Paul, but I think they might have the most exciting race. You can really make a case for 4, 6, maybe even more contenders in that league, especially with Texas and Oklahoma vacating the conference. You look at Oklahoma State, they made the conference championship game last year. I remember talking with Mike Gundy a few years ago about the opportunity he felt his program had to be kind of the top dog of the new Big 12. Are they able to do that? I spent time in the state of Kansas this spring with Kansas and Kansas State. They both have aspirations, especially if they can, you know, be excellent and stay healthy at the quarterback position with Jalen Daniels and Avery Johnson, two of the better quarterbacks in that conference. You add in Arizona and Utah from the Pac-12, they immediately become contenders for the Big 12. And I was talking with Chris Klieman about this at Kansas State a couple of years ago. They win the league, but we all knew they weren't going anywhere at that point. They weren't going to qualify for the playoff. This year they win the league. We know they're going to the playoffs. So that's a really big opportunity for all the teams in the Big 12. And then the ACC, I still think Florida State and Clemson are right there at the top. You know, maybe NC State, maybe Louisville is a team that I could see taking a jump in year two. They made the ACC title game last year. They've had a very interesting spring portal cycle so far under Jeff Brohm, but that's a team I'm watching as well.
All great stuff. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN joining us with a preview of the upcoming season. We will take a short break here. It's been a busy show with a number of guests, starting with Kenny in the first hour, and you've heard Bruce and Adam and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back, continuing with more calls. Lou is in Memphis. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. What about you?
I am terrific. Excited for you to be speaking at the club on Monday evening.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
Of course, I'll be there to pick you up.
I am
And there are
eager.
Still tickets available, MemphisTouchdownClub.com. So, looking forward to it.
Well, I can't wait, Lou. So I will see you in a couple of days.
Yes. Had a great time last year, and this is looking to be a lot bigger this year.
Well, yeah, that was really one of my favorite nights of the year.
Well, good. So we're excited, and I'm glad you're excited, and I will see you Monday afternoon.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you very much. I'll see you in a couple of days. You bet. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. Braxton, the young guy that caught earlier, what a great phone call. He's going to take over from the other guy. We don't even hear from him anymore. What happened with him, Paul?
I agree. I don't want to compare 13-year-olds, but Dominic is coming up, so I'm just going to bite my tongue for a moment.
Okay. Hey, Paul, let's talk about Kenny Chesney for a minute. What a great interview. And you had a great interview with Derek Wingo. What a class act from him, too. But have you ever been to the Floribama Lounge down
sure
on
have.
The Gulf Shores?
I most certainly have.
I grew up going down there and hanging out down there, but in 2014, Kenny Chesney played down there, and there was already over 40,000 people on that beach.
That.
And if he has a song out called "The Floribama," and he mentions all the SEC teams and all that kind of stuff, and it has pictures of all that going down Floribama when he was playing.
It's not a song that's very well known, but I remember I've seen the video of that concert, and it was stunning. It was literally on the beach, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
And this weekend, he starts off the song about all the things that have happened at the Floribama, and then when he gets to the he talks about Roll Tide, War Eagle. I mean, it's very very.
He cool. names them all.
Yeah.
Well, and this weekend the mullet toss is going on down at Gulf down there at Floribama. You ever been to the mullet toss?
I have not been to the mullet toss, but I've heard
have
about
you,
it.
Yeah, it's a crazy party. But anyway, Paul, I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Trey. Great to hear from you. And the aforementioned Dominic is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Dominic.
So, I know I got most of my NFL draft picks wrong for them Bama boys last night, but I know I didn't miss one prediction that the SEC still has the most selections in the first round. In a row. That's 18 now, Paul.
Amazing.
Yeah, and nobody's been talking about Bama basketball, and Latrell Wrightsell is staying, and guess who just announced they're staying, Paul?
Oh, who's that?
Grant Nelson.
Grant Nelson? Did you know that, Randy?
Yeah, so Grant Nelson is staying with Latrell right now, and there's a couple guys in the portal, like the Rutgers center, and there's some rumors that Mark Sears might stay because he has one more year of eligibility.
I know Mark.
Yeah, and how about Kenny Chesnut? That was a great interview today, Paul.
Thank you. I would imagine you're probably too young to know Kenny Chesnut's music.
I've heard a couple of his songs, but I wanted to ask you, are you going to his concert?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You going to them VIP and drinking a couple cold ones?
I don't wanna confess to that. I'll be there in the upper deck with Randy.
Still drinking some cold ones though, right?
Yeah, we're in the nosebleed section.
Don't matter. There might still be some Miller Lite for you guys.
Yeah, no, I think we have the last row in the end zone, right behind the stage.
Yeah, but I mean, Kenny Chesnut
in triple X, we don't have a view of the stage, but we do have a view of the concession stands.
Just got to take a couple steps over there.
Dominic,
and
I realize you're young, but have you started going to concerts yet?
I've been to one concert.
Which one was that?
It was the Kiss concert.
Ooh, Kiss! Now you're talking my era now.
Oh yeah, I love them, Paul.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I even dressed up as one for Halloween.
Ooh, that's fantastic.
Which one did you dress up as? Yeah, the one with the stars on his eyes.
Yeah.
And as always, roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy. Great weekend.
We're working on it. Thanks. Todd is up next. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for the call. Listen, I think of Chris. I think he is Earl, Buckeye Earl from Biloxi. If you'll listen to him, he sounds just like him. But anyway, Paul, I was wondering, when are we going to have our Paul Feinbaum reunion?
Who do you think should be there?
Well, it's a bunch of them I want to be there, and you defended one maggot yesterday in New Orleans against me, but let me read you something. John 2:2-4. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." I didn't say anything bad about the Holy Mother like he said I said, and you agree with him, Paul, but let me ask you something. I bought your book, and I read it. I want you to read the Bible and see what it says. If you wouldn't mind, do that for me. That would do you some good, too. But let me say this, Paul. Y'all attacked me yesterday, and that idiot called me an idiot. I guarantee you, if he ever meets me face to face, it is the last thing that come out of his mind. But I want to say something to both of y'all.
Okay, Todd, I'm lost here. Who called you an
idiot?
That
was Augie that you was taking up for. But let me also, I'm
okay,
gonna say
well,
this
calm
too,
down.
Paul.
So, what are you threatening to do to Augie now?
Don't worry about it. But he won't say. He won't call me an idiot. I bet you. But anyway, also I want to say this, Paul, and I'm not feeling indicative or anything. All right. Y'all talked about yesterday, Jim calling everybody a fool. Well, look, Jim was right when he called back in and said, but my Bible says brother in Christ. All right. But look, Jim saying that to other people, he don't know if they're saved Christians or not. But let me tell you this, Paul. Augie, your mama tied a coal oil rag around your ankles to keep the piss ants from climbing up your legs and eating your candy ass off when you was a kid when you'd go out and play. Roll damn tide, Paul. Y'all have a great day.
Todd clearly was bothered by the Augie call. Wouldn't you agree? Woo. That was one mad hornet there. Eric is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Same here. I'm just heading home from work. I'm kind of a little tired, but I'm doing all right.
I'm glad to hear you're done.
Hey, I want to talk about somebody real quick. It's Jim Tuscaloosa, and You know, I know Jim's been on your show, you know, for many years. And I've always heard people, you know, put him down and run their mouth about him. But I got to be honest with you, I have the utmost respect for Jim. And I think he's one of the best callers you got on your show. He's just being Jim. He's, you know, talking
on it. I mean, compare, yeah, I mean, I agree with you about Jim. And, you know, one thing about Jim, he spits the truth. He doesn't make idle threats like the last fella who wants to, you know, crush everybody's nose. I mean, but anyway, thanks for the call. I hope you have a good weekend. Sounds like you had a rough week. Jim is up next.
Well, as usual, Ted from Shelby, still spreading the word of God, the love of God. Paul, I mean, even an ignorant fool, a real fool, could recognize where Todd is, where he is, where he isn't, and he isn't in God's camp. That's a fact. No way. He's got no love of God in him. He's got nothing but hatred and vengeance and evil and demons. That's what demons do. But anyway, spreading the love of God. Thanks, Paul. I mean, and thank
you. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's a very angry man, and that's not a good thing to be.
He really is. You talking about insecure?
Well, you know what? I don't mind. I mean, one thing. If you're going to preach the gospel, do it with love and feeling. Don't do it with hatred.
Well, he's not spreading. He's just spreading hate. All he's doing using scripture. There's many that are headed to hell and gone to hell that have done that. And he's headed to hell.
I think he's a fox in sheep's clothes, or is it a sheep in fox clothes?
A wolf in sheep's clothes.
One of those two, because he's trying to get in good with you.
Paul, he's not even a wolf in sheep's clothing. Has more. I mean, I'm gonna compare you. You could be called a wolf in sheep's clothing because you know how to do it. He's not even clever enough to do it right.
No.
Anybody knows this guy is not real.
A dummy in sheep's clothes.
A what?
A dummy.
Well, he's just a dummy, period. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Excellent call. Call of the day right there. We will be back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Anna Wohlers from Auburn, what a year. And Auburn taking on Ole Miss straight ahead. Logan is up next. Hello, Logan.
Paul, hey, buddy. How's it going, brother?
We are doing great.
Excellent, man. Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the callers calling in and complaining about being put on hold. I just wanted to let them know, like, everybody has to put their time in. Paul goes to the people that are going to get ratings, guys. So, you know, make a good call. If you make a good call, he's probably going to go to you pretty quick next time. But, you know, in terms of complaining about not having a special number, I mean, we don't have that. Everybody calls in and wastes their turn. And, you know, so anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as a semi-long-term caller, Paul. Did Jim mention something about Trump and God, Trump being put in there by God?
I missed it. I have a okay. Political filter in my brain that if I hear a political comment, it's shut out.
Okay, well, let's talk about something different, Paul. My bad. So what do you think about the draft 14 offensive players were taken. What does that say about the college football landscape and maybe about what the NFL is looking at nowadays?
Well, I think some of this is cyclical because remember 2 years ago, Georgia's entire defensive line was taken. But I think the most interesting aspect of the draft was this. Not a single running back was taken. And I think that's only happened one other time in the modern draft. And when you think about it, that used to be the premier position in football. And now it's almost non-existent.
I mean, that was your bell cow, your running back in the day. Like, that was what you took. It's crazy. That position has been, there's no emphasis put on it, I guess. I guess they think anybody can run the ball nowadays, but I don't know. I kind of like the Atlanta pick. I know that they are a ridiculous, like you said, they're a terrible organization, but I kind of like the pick. I'm not going to lie. I think that Kirk Cousins isn't going to hold up. He's probably going to get knocked out in probably the first five games, so they're going to need a backup quarterback. Whether or not Penix is the guy, I don't know. He's also had an injury history, but he looked awfully damn good last year in the playoffs, Paul.
No, you're right. It was a bizarre decision, but I'm not even sure why they signed Cousins in the first place. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Cat Daddy.
Big Paul looking good and sounding good. I didn't get to see the interview with Kenny Chesney, but that is all Velveeta has talked about since I got home. And she had mentioned he had told you he had a place down at the Virgin Islands with
right.
a pool and big screen TVs and a bar.
He said he's got he mainly lives south of Nashville. He's got a couple of places around, probably not as many as Saban, but he said he had a place in the Virgin Island where there, what do you say, a pool and you got four TVs?
Pool, a bar.
He said, I mean, he told us this a couple of years ago and he reiterated to say he will not work during football season.
Oh, I don't blame him for that. But what I want to ask you is since you're such good friends with him, Junior called me. He said, ask Five Bomb if he can't fix it so me and you can fly down to the Virgin Island this football season and hang out at Kenny's pool.
Hey, by the way, you probably don't remember this, but a couple of years ago, I spent the day with Darius Rucker in Columbia.
Oh, yeah. He lives in Charleston now, don't he?
Yeah, no, we had a great time. And, I mean, you talk about a serious football fan. He is.
Oh, man. He's my friend. I love old dad. He's something now.
I think he's got one of those, what do you call them at the stadium? Cockaboos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He has one of those. Oh, yeah. He's at all the ball games. He's a good dude. I'm telling you what. And let me tell you one more thing before I let you go. The Gamecocks and Beamer Ball is going to shock the world. I think I said that about 20 times since I've been on your show, but I'm going to say it again.
You said that a few times, Cat Daddy, but there's nothing wrong with repeating that.
I hear you. I hear you, Big Paul. God bless y'all. Have a great day and enjoy the draft. It's looking good for them kids. They all going to be millionaires.
Okay, give Velveeta my best. I'm taking her to the concert tomorrow night. Johnny B. is up next.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. Enjoyed the Kenny interview. I stopped on the way back home and got me a bottle of that Key Lime Blue Cheer Bay rum in honor of that great interview. But I'm getting to think Todd may be related to Roy Moore. Do you think so?
Boy, I tell you, Todd makes me a little uncomfortable knowing that I might be residing in the same county as him.
Hey, I got cut off yesterday, but I was going to tell you about, did you hear about John watching the draft?
John from St. Louis?
John from Missouri.
Yeah, John.
He got his big Magnavox TV on, the one that's got a record player. Got a record player on one side, and he got that thing, and he got his TV.
I remember
TV
those Magnavoxes, don't you?
He got his Swanson TV dinner, and he peels it back, and that Salisbury steak's just steaming, and here it comes on, and Goodell's there, and he's looking around, and these young men coming out, and it's football-related, and he says, what the hell?
He said, I thought we were having a military draft. He said, I just knew AJ.
He said,
young men like AJ were going to get sent to the front line.
He was checking the newspaper to see what his draft number was.
Yeah, he was so pissed off, he thought it was the military draft. But I'm just, have you heard any of the Auburn people claiming Bo Nix now that he got drafted?
Well, I mean, he did start at Auburn. He played there 4 years.
I thought it was 8 years there. And
we played four in Auburn and three in Oregon.
He's getting a pension anyway. So anyway, enjoyed the show today. That's all I got.
Well, you know, the thing about Bo Nix, you can't blame that one on the current inhabitant. That one's on Gus Malzahn. I don't know how he could screw that up. Anyway, some of you may be just jumping on board. We had a fantastic an entire hour. And I was thinking, I later found out, this is the things you learn. I was talking to one of the PR people, and they said, it was really amazing that he stayed for the whole hour. I always thought he was supposed to be here for the whole hour. I didn't realize he was only supposed to be here 30 minutes or 15 minutes. I don't know, I didn't really want to let him go after an hour. Maybe he'll come back. We still have one more hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.